Buenos días, amigos de Cristo. I bring you greetings from Father Tony Rojas and the Episcopal Farmworker Ministry where we were this week, and glad tidings as we celebrate not only this fifth Sunday of Pentecost, but the 50th anniversary of the Detroit Freedom March, and also the baptisms of Annabelle, Madison, Daniel, and Marley in today's 9 o'clock service. We welcomed 5 people into our family of God. I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is a common practice when preparing sermons to read the biblical text for the day in multiple translations of the Bible in order to gain a better understanding of those messages and in the particular messages that those texts have to offer us. This past week, as I was preparing for this sermon, I read a translation of the Bible written by biblical scholar Eugene Peterson called The Message. In it, I found a nugget of wisdom that struck me at the heart of what I was doing that week, which was preparing a sermon for this Sunday, but also sleeping on the floor and working with a bunch of middle schoolers and 2 high schoolers at an Episcopal youth event, going to the Episcopal Farmworker Ministry in Newton Grove. And I'd like to share a portion of that translation with you today. It starts with the pigs. A large herd of pigs was browsing and rooting on a nearby hill. The demons begged Jesus to order them into the pigs, and he gave the order. It was even worse for the pigs than for the man. Crazed, they stampeded over a cliff into the lake and drowned. Those tending the pigs, scared to death, bolted and told their story in town and country. People went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had been sent sitting there at Jesus' feet, wearing decent clothes and making sense. It was a holy moment, and for a short time they were more reverent than curious. Then those who had seen it happen told how the demoniac had been saved. It was a holy moment, and for a short time they were more reverent than curious. It was a holy moment, but for a short time they were more reverent than curious. They were more reverent than questioning. They were more reverent than anxious. I had to laugh at myself when I first read this, not really knowing how much or what to anticipate when we got into this mission to begin with. I tried my hardest to assuage concerns and curiosities about what to expect. These concerns and curiosities came from our leaders, came from our parents, came from our youth, and came from myself. But the truth of the matter is, we were going into this mission blindly. We had never been there before, and those of us leading this trip were left wondering what we would do when we got there, and how we would explain to our students and parents that we didn't quite know what we were doing when we were going there, but it was a journey of discovery more than anything else. I'll admit it, I was really anxious. I do not like not having answers. And I do not like not having an understanding of what the broader picture is, especially when it comes to leading a trip. The youth director from the Chapel of the Cross and I worked our hardest to plan meals and various group icebreakers and games, but after that, we were mostly there to help Padre Tony Rojas and his wife with, and I quote, whatever they might need help with that week. We didn't know what we were getting into. How do you pack for that? We were told about a possible gardening project, and we knew we'd visit the various farm worker camps in the evenings once the farm workers got off of work and were back at their camps. But other than that, that was basically the extent of what we knew. It wasn't much to persuade this heart of mine, or some of the parents for that matter, that we made the right decision to go. On the afternoon that we left, I was scrambling to make music and prayer sheets to get as much packed and in order as possible, but I still wondered what we were going to be doing and how it was that this whole thing was going to happen, how it would fall into place, where God might show up in the midst of, or probably in spite of, me. After loading our vehicles with whatever we may or may not have used, the students, parents, and leaders circled up for prayer. There was a nervous energy in the room. But when we held hands, we asked God to open our hearts and our minds to see God at work in the world. And in that moment when we were asking God to guide us, I think we realized that it was going to be okay. Because if we really truly believed that God would guide us, God would be there. I believe it was a holy moment. And for a short time, we were more reverent than curious. We were more reverent than questioning or anxious. Many students were quite unsure. One student absolutely, positively did not want to go. He was concerned because he didn't really have many friends going on the trip. He asked his father over and over who would be there, what we would be doing, how we would get there, what was going to happen. And this was actually true for many of our students and leaders. But his father over and over again offered him this sage advice: just simply go and try to have a good time. So we went, unaware of who we would know or what we would be doing. And upon arrival, we unpacked the games, and then unpacked the football. Immediately, the boys, including the aforementioned student, disappeared onto the soccer field, and the game was afoot. That game was almost sacramental in nature. That game was part of our Galatians text today. In that game, there was no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, no St. Paul's, no Chapel of the Cross. Suddenly, it wasn't them and us. Suddenly, it wasn't my friends and you. Suddenly, it was a group of people, all equal, all making new friends, all playing the same game. It was a holy moment. And for longer than a short time, they were more reverent to the game than curious, questioning, or anxious. And as the week unfolded, there were more and more moments like that. There were only two high schoolers that went on this trip. And this could have been potentially extremely frustrating for them, being the only two high schoolers on this trip. High schoolers don't tend to like to hang out with middle schoolers. They could have easily tried to separate themselves from the rest of the group, and instead they stepped up, they organized, and they led the group better than and with more patience than I or any of the other adult chaperones could have done. The daily service work that we had been given changed and changed and changed again, and we had little complaint from any of our students. Friendships were forged. Phones and iPods were turned off and put away. This is teenagers. Prayers were prayed. Food was made and eaten around a common table. These were holy moments, and for times, we were more reverent than curious, questioning, and anxious. And all of this, of course, happened before we even met the farm workers, those we were there to learn about, to meet, and to help. I must admit, there was a lot of uneasiness going into those camps that first night, too. We had a lot of things to work through when we got back from the camp that first night, experiencing the initial shock of poverty-stricken areas right in our backyard, right an hour away from us, meeting men who wake up every single morning before dark and come back home every single evening after dark just so that they can put food on their tables back at home in Central America. Meeting men who give up everything, including sometimes their dignity, so that their families can have a better life. Meeting children the same age as our students who work on the farms and live in overcrowded camps with outhouses rather than going to school and living in single-family homes. Attempting to have conversations in broken Spanish and broken English. There was a lot of anxiety happening, a lot of questioning and curiosity. But soon we were there sharing clothing and bedding and stuffed animals galore. Soon after that, there were those nearly sacramental moments again. It wasn't us and them. It wasn't Jew or Greek. It wasn't slave or free. It wasn't white or black or Latino. It was us together, the body of Christ, the family of Christ, working as one, blowing bubbles together, chasing bubbles together, playing soccer together, which we did get killed in soccer, by the way, with the other people. That's bad. But it was all of us on one team playing soccer, singing Caminando en la luz de Dios, Caminando en la luz de Dios. Playing together, being together, becoming family together. There we were meeting the faces of Jesus. There we were sharing in God's marvelous work. These were holy, holy moments, and for a time, we were more reverent than curious, questioning, or anxious. Friends, if I have learned anything from our text today and from this week's trip to Episcopal Farm Worker Ministry, it's that an encounter with Jesus, whether Jesus looks like a kid from another church with a football, whether Jesus looks like an old priest with a heart for mission, whether Jesus looks like a young child enamored by bubbles or playing with a new Barney stuffed animal, whether Jesus looks like a teenager finally discovering gifts of leadership, an encounter with Jesus changes us. An encounter with Jesus heals us. Like the man with many demons, when we meet Jesus, no matter what Jesus looks like, when we search out and look for Jesus and meet Jesus, we too are healed from our own demons. Our demons of fear, our demons of anxiety, our demons of questioning, our demons of invisible boundaries and barriers, our demons of cultural bias that we build up around ourselves. When we encounter Jesus, we are healed. This morning, I invite you to look around, to look for those places where you see God at work in our lives and in the world. This morning, I invite you to discover places in your own life or in the lives of others where these healing encounters with Jesus are taking place. And then, in those holy moments, let us stand in awe of God's work. In those holy moments, may we find ourselves, even if for a brief time, more reverent than curious, questioning, or anxious. Amen.